Hello everyone, this is the Red News Fanzine Podcast. Thank you all for listening, and thank you all for buying the mag. And if you don't buy the mag, buy the mag. But if you want to support us a little bit more, we also have a Patreon that you can sign up to, and it's patreon.com/rednews. Now, here's the podcast. Goodbye.
Hello everyone, it's Red News Podcast 299, and in a season full of horrible, shitty kickoff times, we've got a horrible, shitty kickoff time. It's Aston Villa on the 15th of March, Nick, and it's raining again. We've had some hell dingers of rain. I've actually got it in my eye, and I could moan for the next 5 minutes, but you don't want to hear that. But just please support the mag, I've really had enough. Day started off with a bus replacement, a cancelled train. It's pissing. It's going to piss down from 1 o'clock. So please let us win, because this is a huge, huge match. I'm very worried about today. Newcastle, as I say, the lack of intensity worried me. When Dan Byrne was rousing their crowd, we sort of seemed a bit intimidated, which scared me a bit. But hopefully, you know, that 10 days, has it hindered us? Has it done us a favour? We come out early. You know, we haven't been playing well, so I'm worried. But wouldn't it be nice if, by Friday evening at 10 o'clock, we've won 2 on the trot, 6 points, because the buffer that we'd have, because results keep going our way, would be incredible. So, yeah, nervous. I did think Carrick, you know, the Malassi was a big mistake. That was his first mistake. I'm not going to get on his back. I really liked his press conference, playing down the JJ Gabriel is too young, you know, like, let's just halt that talk. I thought he spoke confidently, you know, we didn't play well. Just, let's see. Hello, Ben.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, apart from the rain, the trains, the Sundays, the 2 p.m. kickoffs, Monday kickoffs.
Yeah, but like I said to you yesterday, Barney, on WhatsApp, though, after today, was it 4 8 p.m.s in a row? That's even more of a heat take, if you know what I mean.
And so I'd said to you, like, I really thought this would be the season where we'd have lots, such as I.
We might have three more Saturday threes.
But in fact, it was the reverse, because they could just push us wherever, because we're not in Europe.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Bastards.
But yeah, exactly. But yeah, on that, but we went to, me and Zayden went to Newcastle away. I thought we looked lethargic throughout the whole game, to be fair. Got ourselves back in it with Casemiro, obviously. We're going to miss that, aren't we, with Casemiro?
Yeah, but he wasn't added in at the right time. He wasn't. Someone mentioned, like, Dennis Law in the air, but we didn't mention Casemiro, how good he's been in the air for us.
So I think we're going to miss that. Yeah, brilliant goal. Just get ourselves back level pegging. I thought, you know, Curry pushed on a little bit more, but struck really leggy. When I'm thinking we've already played.
No,
we're
not playing. But the worry was that season was the first time we had played two in a short space time.
And that's what I thought. And then, as you said with the Malassia thing, I thought as soon as he put him on, I thought, oh, might be a bit of a mistake there, Michael. You know, he's hardly played a lot of football. And but lo and behold, it comes down that side of the field, and he's there napping.
I'll keep on chatting away.
But yeah, just disappointment with Malassia's lack of knowledge and lack of seeing where his man is. You know, not looking over his shoulder, just stood there like a statue, really, and they go on and score. But such is life, I suppose. It's going to be a very difficult game today.
We're always going to lose. And Newcastle, you know, like multiple cup finals. It's, you know, like, hey, Dave, how are you feeling?
Good.
What's your prediction?
Average.
And you're fighting our corner for the family stand, as in the collective corner.
Always, mate. Yeah, hopefully it came across on X this week. We got nowhere, but we didn't not fight. It was a tough one. But they're standing their ground. They're basically saying that someone else made the decision and they don't want to carry forward with it. Yes, exactly.
But they're more exploiting of, you know.
You can understand where they're coming from with a business head on, but it doesn't sit right emotionally or experience-wise for the fans, and I'm disappointed with them.
Because if you just keep making business decisions, you lose your soul, your ethos of what United, we're still fighting for here.
We are, you're right.
Keep up the good fight, Dave.
Thank you, mate. Okay. Take care, mate.
See you later. Just
on that as well, Barney, there seems to be hammering fans all over the place now. Disabled supporters, obviously a few years ago they bought everything in line with able-bodied supporters, you know, general ticketing and everything. And obviously there's been a couple of things on Facebook as well, that people have now lost their season tickets because obviously they failed to make it. I'll talk. Yeah, they failed to make the cut, you know, that they've missed too many games. So instead of like an obligatory phone call from United, from the tick office, listen, I know they're understaffed and everything and there've been major cutbacks there, but surely somebody somewhere is sending out the email saying, listen, they've cancelled season tickets because they missed too many matches. Surely someone should be on a phone call there somewhere before that happens. And just to tell Pete, just to, you know, just see what the issue is. Why haven't they attended matches? Disabled supporters should be treated a lot differently. With illnesses, operations, they might not have a PA sometimes that can take them to games. I think that definitely needs looking at. I know Muds are trying to fight the ground with the club, trying to get a meeting with the club to try and get some of this rectified. But again, it just seems to be a kick in the teeth where they say, oh, you're guilty before any chance of playing your innocence. You know, surely there should be some common sense somewhere, but it doesn't seem to be.
We've got, cheers Ben, we've got in the next mag, you know, a couple of really emotional stories about the move, the South Stand, you know, yeah, where it won't happen, and then someone, Riaz, who's on the pod, we might get him after, he moved, then they're moving him again. So he's now going to North Stand, because we all know that this will be just be an infinite amount of South Stand while we're still here, which, you know, I want it. That they're just going to make the South Stand. And my argument, I think I said it about 18 months ago, is make one like tier three. It wouldn't be tier three because they want the views, but make one like section. Just do what you want with it. But I didn't want it to be the South Stand. And I suppose, you know, the answer to that is they're just exploiting everywhere. And it's like, it just feels, you know, even the, more in the next mag really, like just the elephant in the room that never gets mentioned in all this is the gimps, is it? You know, like, yeah, and the debt, and we've done this transfer thing, which I know other clubs do, where we've sold a bit of a future debt, and yeah, business savvy, but it looks a bit desperate, you know, like, Jesus Christ, after 20 years of the bastards, yeah, that we're still having to do mechanisms, you know. And don't get me wrong, we sold, and we had a big thing in the mag, it really infuriated me at the time. We sold Beckham, David Beckham, the most marketable player in the world. I've ranted about this 20 odd years ago, for a pittance. And then, in his fucking wisdom, Peter Kenyon, to get the money up front, it was over four periods of pay that they were going to pay us Real Madrid. He took it all in one go for about 4 million less. So I think that we only got in total 12 million from the David Beckham transfer. The most marketable footballer. And I know him and Fergie had fallen out, and I know the contract, but you just think that sort of summed up United's thing. Anyway.
I think it's also like going back to ticketing and everything. More ticket renewals came, obviously, more price hikes again. But that's not just United, though. It's across the board in the Premier League.
I don't know what the right word is,
but it just seems to be like, you know, it's the highest level of football now starting to become unattainable for like
the
families.
The Premier League is just, and with, you know, the amount of American owners are seeking to get rid of us. Chelsea have a big thing where they met a director, their trust, and they, you know, the bloke just totally didn't get it, you know, and then basically said to the fans, well, we, you know, we have as much of a right as you lot do, which is condescending. They said they found it so condescending. Anyway, loads to cover. As always, just keep the fight. The fanzines keep the fight going. Can I just say, Lammens, love him, stable,
love him.
But Palace and Newcastle, he didn't move at all. So I'd like him to do some work. Lammens, if you're not listening, because you won't be, just work on where your posts are, mate. Because they were both, the Newcastle goal was a bullet, but he did not move at all. And I would like to see him just know where your posts are.
Disagree with, with the Newcastle one, because Maguire stood in his way and he can't see. And I played goalkeeper for years at no kind of standard whatsoever. But if someone's blocking your vision, which that was, and it showed the camera angle behind the goal,
Palace.
I'm not going to fault him for that.
To be fair, though,
it was a worldie. I've given him so much credit. Apart from where he's
To be fair, Barney, it could be a lot worse. Could still have a Nana between the sticks.
No, I'm just saying, for a young keeper. But there's two things I want the coaches to work on him.
You know, he's made a few mistakes.
De Marino, you know, we could have got him. Look at the mistake he made coming out yesterday. I just think there's two things I'd like him to work on. Save him with your other hand when it comes, you know, and also just to move a bit. Right, Lowry on BBC iPlayer, fantastic. 42 years he was a rent collector, and he didn't tell anyone, didn't tell his mates, because he didn't want to be known as doing the painting in his spare time. But he described the South as a dull, horrible place. It's dead alive, it's gutless. You've got that spot on, Lowry. Irrational hatreds, write them up. Write funny stories up, please, people. And the thing that I found in my Man U mad moments, I watched May 22. Don't ask me why. I watched Brighton beat us 4-0 the other day in May 2022. You may remember, you won't. Cucurella cried after his goal as his first in England. Ronaldo was tutting all about him when the third and fourth went in. And Bruno said afterwards, which made all the back pages, we didn't fight for the shirt. Oh, happy days that was. But Ralph Rangnick, the chance of the fraud, came in and wore a new pink jumper that day, and it was a shambles. I just thought, that's the Spurs boss, who's here for the payday, doesn't care, could go down, you know, and not that I care about another club, but it just made me laugh. And the extent that Spurs are in the shit, that they've already briefed their sacking this manager after they lose today. It's just like, that's what we did with Ralph Rangnick sort of thing. Newcastle Cup final bastards. We've had four disjointed performances. That annoys me. And their social media bastard photograph after they beat us yet again. What are we, Nick? Where are we right now?
No, I still feel a little bit inconsistent. Say the performances haven't been great over the last few weeks. I still felt we were a little unlucky to lose at Newcastle. I thought a draw was a fair result, which still isn't great when they've got 10 men for half the game. I don't know, it's kind of hard, isn't it? Because the games are so spread out. It's got to be tough as a player to get in some kind of rhythm for it. You want to be playing at least once a week, don't you? You do, like, you know, just to make sure your body's still moving and stuff. So I do kind of feel sorry a little bit for them in that regard.
You carry on, Nick. Sorry, mate. Thank you.
I do feel sorry for them a little bit in that regard, but I'm looking forward to today because this is much more of an accurate test, because I feel these are a bit more our kind of level. You know, say third and fourth in the league, so the goal difference that separates. So today for me is the real one. We're at home. We've been building good momentum at home.
It's huge
as well. Like, you know, it's
this shapes, I think, if we do actually make Champions League today. Chelsea, you know, Chelsea won't be shit against us. That'll be another cup final.
And also, you've probably got a potential Man United manager on show here as well, Unai Emery. So, you know, is he going to be one to try and upset the apple cart today?
That Bruno no-look switch play pass to Mbeumo, which I think had Nick cooing at the game, was even better on a rewatch. I'm so glad, though, I was at the bar last pod for Nick, not just his Sesco song, but describing his themed food night. Oh, we had a wild, wild west theme night. He just pulled it out of the hat. No one took exception to it. What type of swingers degradation events are you partaking in? And then he dared abuse me seconds later when I came back about my May Day fact.
Well, you asked me what my hate of the week was, and that was what it was.
Well, mine is wild west
theme. Well, do you know what the next one is?
What sort of life? No one, not in a million. If I lived to a billion, no one would ever come up to me and say, Barney, do you want to come to a Wild West theme night?
There's only four of us here. We've been doing it for a while.
Is that me or me? You or me? Who's that actually a digger? My circle of friends are just degraded. Let's go to the pub and get...
It's nice to have a bit of both.
Really?
Did you watch the film Wild Wild West?
We didn't know Nathan said that as well. We should have done that. But do you know what the next theme is for our dinner party?
God.
You'll get ready for this one.
This is Ralph Rennick live here. Go on, what is it?
Friends, the TV show.
Oh, which you love as
which
well.
Which is unbelievable.
Don't
you? So Jesus. I can't wait. Could I be any more excited?
Were you
going to
be
theme?
Joey Orson, are you?
I've got things planned.
Carrick made the point, which I did last time, see how they react when they went 1-0 down against Palace, and he said,
"Hang on, what's wrong with my Sassville song?
I didn't like it.
It's a sex bomb by
And
Tom
he
Jones.
Said, after the game, which I said, so for once I was right, here's something I've been waiting for. I said to the lads, go on then, show me what you're about after we went 1-0 down. Go on, do something about it. Now I want to see how he reacts after the Newcastle and how the team reacts. So come on. Right, if United were a person, what would it be then, Ben? Who would they be?
If United were a person?
I'm going to remember.
He's dropped that one on me, hasn't he?
Have a think and describe it when you do your 4 minutes after.
Oh, I'll do that. Okay, then. I'll have a good think about
that. But not the Katie Price. And lastly, so Ben's kindly got the sunflower seed. If anyone's go and buy some of the cheapest chips. What you do now, and I'm not talking as an expert, but someone. I had an hour and a half in the garden. You wouldn't believe it today. Yesterday, I came back into the door and I said to my dear wife, who's, you know, Mother's Day and all that, which has created a debate. Oh, it wasn't Mother's Day during the war amongst the groups. I mean, but I'm here, and I just went that hour and a half for that my Swede. What that's done to me has so helped. So I just mulched. I did, you know. Anyway, so windowsill, window box, garden, greenhouse. Get a little bit of soil and put your seed in it. Put it about. What's that? What do you reckon? 4 or 5 centimetres down? Put your seed in, then water it, then get it in some light and warmth right now. That's all you do. Then every couple of days, just have a tap of the soil at the top and see if it's dry. If it's drying out, give it a little bit of water. Leave it a month where it is, you'll see the shoots come through. Then, be in a bigger pot in a month. If you've got a garden, put it out in the garden. And that sunflower, I promise you people, this is my mandate for the world. This is my manifesto in a shitty world. That sunflower, when you look at it, will give you so much joy. Thinking you grew that little bastard who germinated in March when it was pissing down. So you just enjoy it.
I think we're just tuning into the Alan Titchmarsh fucking podcast.
Well, his garden. That fucker's garden. I've watched an old episode of Alan Titchmarsh. His garden is incredible.
So it should be. That's why it's got his old TV show.
I got a bit like...
Also, I will say, I got garden envy. Desperately need European football so we can stop talking about gardening on this podcast. This is our little football
Gardens
content.
World is back,
which is, by the way,
right,
by the way, is a very good thing that there's not much football content to talk about. It means things are good and there's no drama that keeps coming out of the club from
the dramas. Dramas are at other clubs right now. Pressure's building on Pep. What are you going to do? Haaland, Barcelona have started clucking around, which is great. Here, Barcelona are clucking around JJ Gabriel as well. But there's just drama at other clubs. So wouldn't it be nice? Two wins on the trot. Right, predictions, lads.
2-1 United.
Oh, you make that good. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, go for that.
2-1 United.
2-1.
There's lots of halves going 2-1 as well. I feel like. Like I should
two
say something
two
else.
2-1's the go-to score these days.
It is, yeah, isn't it? It's always both teams to score.
Yeah, exactly.
It's across the board of 2-1, Barney, so you've got to say 2-1 as well now, too. Okay.
I'm worried, but I just want to keep that little buzz going. Fuck it. A clean sheet. Because Lemon's practised all week on his posts. 2-0 to the mighty, fantastic, up the fucking Reds. Take care of yourselves. We'll speak to you afterwards, everyone. Are you not coming for an orange juice?
No, probably not. No.
Because that links in. You're training for the Manchester Marathon. When are you doing it?
It's 19th of April.
Are you ready?
No.
Oh, for fuck's sake. You did one before?
Yeah, which I took incredibly seriously. And it's now dawned on me that I'm a million miles away from the fitness I was 2 years ago. And I broke down at the end of the last one, just like, I can't move.
So you said never again?
Yeah. But you made me.
I didn't.
Well,
Nathan made you.
Nathan guilt tripped me into it. He's like, I want to do one. I went, Nathan, I'm not doing one with you. He was like, but it looks like such a nice day. And I'm like, yeah, when you're not running it, it's a great day. And the thing is, though, is that it's one of those where Nathan's like, oh, I want the medal, this, that, and the other. And I'm like, yeah, but you're not thinking about those 25k runs you've got to do in January when it's -3 outside and it's freezing. And you're just like, what am I doing with my life? And that's where I'm at again now. And I'm like, this is genuinely not fun.
But you're doing it for Manchester Mines, so it's up. The donations are up. If you can just give a few pennies. I know we do the Manchester Mine in December, but Nick is really, he's taking it, you know.
Well, I didn't do anything in December.
Considering I've not even run that distance in across 55 years of my life, ever, for you to do it in one, anyone doing it in one shunt is pretty impressive. Yeah. I mean, my immediate thing is fuck that for a game of soldiers. Yeah, yeah. So
it will, this categorically will be the last one that I ever do, and I really mean that massively.
I'll put you forward for that. What's the Valley, the Death Valley one, where they run about 100? You know,
no, like, I'm not doing that.
I'll put you down.
I'm
for
not
it,
doing that one.
All right, okay, everyone, like, take care. See ya. Donate. Hello, Riaz.
Hi, Barney. How are you doing?
A consistent theme. We over egg things on this podcast, but you've said repeatedly you've got to be good and lucky. And
good or lucky.
Good or lucky, and we're being a lot of that. I didn't think we were lucky today, but the precursor is there are moments that are going our way that you could argue we haven't had go our way in a while. But I thought first half was slow but reasonable. I thought we were still creating. Second half, we were excellent and we looked like a football team. Damning on Amorin, Kobe, Maguire, Deleau, Shaw, and someone else I had in my head was very good. And Bremo worked his socks off. I thought Manu was my man of the match, just so effortless. So where are you then, Riaz? Yes, this is good, isn't it? We look like a team.
We keep winning, and I'm just happy that we're just looking up the league and thinking, you know what, we might flirt with second. Whereas if you looked in January, we're thinking, well, no more Europe again. So everything's good.
It's standing
really
on Amorin. I mean, like,
all complete. There's no debate now, is there? There's no debate. You know, he had the same players, the same opportunities, but he was so pig-headed. We shouldn't go on about it because that's all dumb, but hellfire. And I think it also reflects on Carrick a little bit, because I don't think you needed to be a brilliant manager to do what Carrick's done. You know, you've got every opportunity just playing one game a week. That's massive. You look at Villa today, one eye on the European fixtures with their substitutions and things. We don't have to do that at all. It's just the one game a week to focus on. So I would have thought any half-decent manager would have got results like we're getting.
Well, but it does make you think, too, that I never went with that if we'd have got rid of him on the 1st of December. But you do almost think, bloody hell, you know.
Like, completely.
I just it's enjoyable, apart from the rain, which I'll get onto at the end, which was fucking biblical. Please, please, please support the Mag after today. We are still Riaz. Do a sniffer vision, well, not a sniffer vision, but do a touch. Touch me, Riaz, touch me.
He's asking me to touch his thigh, and I'm just obliged.
How wet is that? I'm soaked. So, Nathan, sorry for getting you to sell in that.
It was very wet.
And then the sun came out.
And then the sun did come out. Taking a piss, just extra. I thought it was good. I thought it was steady. I don't feel like there was ever really, it felt like they were really, like, obviously they scored, but I think I remember Lammens making like one other save. Like, it felt comfortable. I think, you know, we needed obviously that breakthrough for the goal from the set piece, but it just felt calm, which was nice. Do you know, like, I think
enjoyable.
Yeah, look, we had a lot of like half chances in that first half, like good crosses through.
15-20.
Yeah,
and we're battering last year's goals.
Yeah,
we've got to be the second or third most team score, you know, goals for this season. I mean, how to dramatically change?
Yeah,
and that was happening under Amorin anyway. We were scoring. And
I think, like, until he scored, like, you can tell Casemiro's, like, the pace is, like, get, like, even, like, little small touches, like, not even when he's running, you can tell he's losing that bit of, and I think, so, obviously, they're going to be looking at that. I think that, you know, he got caught out a couple of times today, but obviously, then he goes and scores. It was a great header.
Well, what do you think about the one more year Casemiro?
Unless he takes it, if he takes a 75% pay cut, then yes. But if not,
what did you say, Jeff?
I'd give him another year.
Not on what he's on now.
I don't care. You know, because he gets the money if he doesn't get it.
No, I get it's not ours. It's not ours. No, but my thinking when we were singing it, I thought, Look, I love him. I absolutely, and he's been the one player out of all the we've signed. He's not a cast off. He's still, you know, a player is leaving. You think, well, what Ronaldo's in his ass, and he's given his all for a team he's not going to be part of.
It's weird. Can someone who is the highest paid player at the club be a cult player? Because that's almost what he feels like now. Do you know what I mean? It feels like. Do you know what I mean? Like it seems like he gets it. He's won everything. Yeah, he loves it. Do you know what I mean?
And he's good in the dressing room.
Yeah. And he trains relentlessly.
Great in the dressing room. You know, nice, so he's a good example to the youngsters, isn't he? Yeah.
But the thing on, like, it's not on money. But if they are Jim fucking aiming low, it's that what could that money get us next season? And we've got to get two dynamic young midfielders to go in there. I mean, Bruno was fucking outstanding today. He was literally, he was right back, he was centre back, he was left back.
He created the first two, didn't he? The corner and then the pass. So he's always assisting, isn't he?
The ball for the second goal was ridiculous. Like, just unbelievable pass. I've not seen it on telly yet, but it was an incredible ball.
He's now equaled Beckham for number of assists. Really?
What Chris did you go with there?
I always like leave it to the lap of the gods, so I always ask for two packets of random flavours.
Controversial.
You are so daring.
I know, yeah. Well, it's like devil may care attitude. So we've come out with black pepper and sea salt.
I've never done that in my life, but.
I live on the limits, Barney.
This is like, if this were the 20s, we'd be discussing what drugs we'd be taking tonight. And now we're discussing what Chris they'll give us at the bar.
So I've come out with random selection. I came out with salt and vinegar and black pepper and sea salt.
You've done well with the salt and vinegar, because usually on Chris Roulette, they just give you the... Like Chris Roulette in my terms, so I haven't lived much in life.
But running out.
They usually give you the ones that no other fucker wants. Like, you know.
Capers, though, they're good across the board. I find
they're top.
They're not KP, are they?
So Euro man, man from Del Monte, wearing the white suit. You are now. It's in the bag, isn't it? Some form of Euro's in the bag.
I wouldn't say it's in the bag yet, but it's looking good, isn't it? We're very, very well placed.
How excited are you?
Definitely in Euro.
You would hope so, wouldn't you? It would be something. It would be a catastrophic collapse for us to not.
Well, we said during the game, if we win Friday like this, I thought if we win Friday, that is beyond my wildest expectations of
I didn't fancy us to win today. Just because I don't know why, but away games though, the way that we're set up, and the way that, especially like that kind of away game, Chelsea, where they will go at us, they're not going to sit behind the ball, you know what I mean? They'll be expected to attack us. Fancy us there.
We've got a 6-pointers, haven't we? Chelsea and Liverpool.
Yeah.
Just going back to Casemiro. So, at the moment, he's doing all right. But if we're in Europe and we have a couple of cup runs, he hasn't got it anymore.
And that's stopping the replacement coming in.
The problem with Casemiro is he's lost weight this year. Yeah. And he's put in a massive shift in. He's put in a massive shift in because he wants to play in the World Cup. Yeah. So, what Casemiro do you get next year? Yeah. You know, if you then go for a over here, you're busy thinking, well,
out of four seasons, two have been good.
Yeah.
One has been alright, and one has been very
terrible.
Fair play to the guy though, because you leave Spain at that age, leave Real Madrid at that age, and you're thinking
you've won everything multiple times.
I think everyone would all agree that he's massively bought into this, like what's been mostly a failing project. And been like, you know, he's not hidden, has he, at all? No. I mean, he'll leave with everyone's best wishes.
Well, to have the hunger. Like, what I loved about him and Varane, you know, like, and Zlatan at the League Cup against Southampton. So still, they've done loads, but they still want to win more.
But he has still developed as a player, because he never had that goal threat when he was at Madrid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's like, he's scored a few goals for us now.
Well, that's 24, I think.
Yeah. And let's be honest, the Premier League's a lot quicker pace.
Yeah.
massively quicker, isn't it?
Faster than the Spanish.
So what did you make today?
And one thing that couldn't how today. I thought Ahmed coming back, he didn't have a great game, but he tracked back a lot. I thought Cunha was really poor till he scored. But we had four players who weren't at their game, but we still looked like a team, and six or seven carried them. That's a sign of a better evolving team.
I thought we looked solid today. We looked solid.
Maguire.
We never looked like
Maguire's made a massive difference.
They scored, didn't they?
The goal is
mint
as well.
Yeah, the goal.
Yeah, the goal makes a great save.
I was a bit critical pre-match. Not critical because I love him, but just some of these things I want to iron out over time. If he's going to be a 7, 8, 9, 10 years, just a couple of things. But they pass back to him, and we're not all shitting ourselves.
Right, exactly.
You don't even think about it.
No, you don't panic.
For me,
it feels like the hair, doesn't it?
And just look at Manu again. You know, he just goes unnoticed. He gets just seven or eight. Every single game, brilliant, he's so good at the simple stuff, but that's what we've said, he could have been off, he was on his way out.
If he hadn't, and it wouldn't have been the football, if Amorim hadn't kicked off about Wilcox on the board, we could have Amorim. Manu would be off at best, you know, on a loan deal, and we'd be stagnating. We'd be hoping you lot would be going, oh, we finished seventh for the conference, you know.
But there was a couple of spells today. I always think a definition of a decent player is when you're not playing well, they shine. And I thought there was a couple of spells today where Villa had a lot of the ball, and it was Manu that was doing the disrupting. It was Manu that was getting us going again. And I thought, like, you're the one when we're up against it a little bit. He was the one that was turning it on for us. I thought he was really, really good today. Really good. And it beggars belief, really. Why wasn't he getting games? I think he's really promising.
Carrick knows how to play Casemiro and Manu and Bruno.
What he was himself, wasn't it?
Yeah, but he knows how to play them.
I must say, I don't buy that.
There's just one man who wouldn't.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't buy the Casemiro. Like, I like Casemiro, don't get me wrong. He's a great character, and he's obviously a very, very good footballer. But I don't quite get that. I find it a bit revisionism. Is that the right word? The loving. He come here on a massive salary, and he's coasted a little bit. Like, last season he did. I don't get the loving. I think he's really good and I like him, but I don't think this kind of like fawning all over him, like, he's not done us any favours. He's just like he's now doing what he's paid to do. I don't want to be Roy Keane, it's his job, but he's getting paid, what's he on a week or so, like 300 grand? Like, this fella's earning more a week.
Who would you replace Casemiro next year?
Elliot Anderson. I
think he's Morton.
Is it?
Morton, maybe.
Where is he going?
Who would you?
Camavanga.
Madrid have said he can go.
Yeah.
I think he's young enough. I do like Elliot Anderson. I think Wharton, when we played Crystal Palace, Wharton was silent. And you can't do that again.
No.
If you're playing to go to a bigger club, I would expect you to do a performance on someone like United or City or someone that is considering you'd expect that to be the game of the season. And Wharton was quiet. It was quiet against us.
Is there anyone playing in the Premier League you'd go for?
I do like Elliot Anderson.
Right. Let's see, even better. Possibly.
I do like Anderson.
Did you go today?
Yeah.
What did you make?
We come back on that first bus before you guys.
Sorry, we've intruded by shouting.
No, literally. When the third goal went in, I literally ran down.
Up the Red News!
What did you make of today?
I thought the stadium was flat. We were quite flat. Villa's fans were bouncing. We were in the East Stand, so I thought the stadium was flat today. It was like we were all waiting for something.
It did get going a bit, didn't it?
It did, but after we'd scored the second goal. Yeah. And I think sometimes the players need us to feed them to get them going. That's the whole point. That's why Old Trafford's magical, because we can make the players do stuff.
Well, that's a good.
What do you make of it?
I was just there for the piss up, to be honest.
I'm a rugby fan.
We all love.
I watched the Six Nations yesterday. I had a long day of work.
England lost.
We grafted our asses off till after clock in the morning and we come to the football.
And I've managed to play on the piss. He's out with his dad and he should have been with his mum for Mother's Day today.
Oh, no. Fair play, lads.
The Villa fans is a good segue because
I have many hates of the week this week, but I start with the hate of the week. That "who are you" thing when you score, yeah. I just don't like it. And Villa doing that "who are you" stuff. And United doing it backwards, which is a bit ironic.
Riaz was doing that.
But a love of the week is, and I have to credit Villa with this, I think they must have been singing it about something to do with Birmingham. But "We Shall Not Be Moved" is one of the great football songs forever. Yeah, it's a great, great football song, and they were singing it at the start. And I remember thinking, I'd love to hear us singing that again when we're on a march to a league title.
Nathan, will you?
I'm going to get the bus.
Anything else? He's just handing me this. His
without preparation.
I can do a. Is it? As they call it in the profession, fillers. Or so, my filler is hates of the week. Is I come up from the concourse at half time and I'm in scoreboard. So they were doing the sort of penalties, what they do with Fred the Red, and I got the back end of it. But these days, it's increasingly adults, like a sponsor company, doing it. And today, I just got up as...
complete set of selfie
sticks. They were announcing it, and he ran up taking a penalty with a selfie stick, and he took it. And I thought, you're a man, and you're at least 30 or 40 years old. You're a grown man running up in your blooming...
with a selfie stick.
I couldn't take it. That winds me up. That's a hate. Who are you is a hate. And the other hate is... recently, daytime TV and radio, there's two times this week. Now, the first time was Gogglebox. That I was watching Gogglebox Friday, and they'd done an item about some woman who had an AI partner that resembles in her head an octopus. I couldn't get my head... I just couldn't grasp. I couldn't grasp the concept. She said, it's giving me more satisfaction. They said, in your head, what is it? It visualises as an octopus. I just simply didn't understand the artificial intelligence being. But I remember thinking, as someone who's kind of like hurling towards retirement, I'm thinking, I made a note to myself, do not turn on the TV before like 8 p.m. And the second thing was, then I was driving, we were driving in the car on Friday. I had a day off Friday, and my wife and I were driving to go for some lunch. And Jeremy Vine was on the fucking radio. I call him Jeremy Wine. But it's like, nice. like America and Iran are at war. The whole world is in turmoil, blah, blah. And his finger on the pulse moment today was like, have you ever been stained from the dye on your duvet? And then people were phoning in to say they woke up thinking they had hypothermia or something wrong with them because they had blue on them. And it was a duff. And I was thinking, Jesus Christ, like, if there's any incentive to carry on working, it's a daytime shite that you get.
With you on the selfie
stick,
penalty taker selfie stick, that was tragic.
But it's not like a child, it's like a man. It's a man in like a 40 or something.
What about the guy with the
finger? But you know that he's paid thousands to do that.
Can I have a hate of the week that Albert loves Gladiator and I watched it? So he wants me to watch the quarters of semis. No, not like Spartans and all that. As in, like, there's a bloke in Lycra with his bollocks hanging out. So he said, watch the semi-final yesterday. So I watched it. So they're doing all this thing and they're going growling and there's Viper and all this shit. And I said, are they still on illicit drugs, you know, like hormones and all that? And Chloe was like, no, they won't get away with that. I bet they get... Anyway, and no, well, I just said, man,
like, let him have the dream a little
bit longer. Anyway, this lad in the semi-final, Mo, as a like a normal person, he gets all the way, he's winning, he gets an injury in the like the bit before the last thing. No, the normal person. And then they say, well, Mo's injured, he's out. We're bringing in the bloke who got knocked out of the quarterfinals, who wins and he's in the final. And I was like, that's not fair. Give the other lad a bye. It's like, so I was getting really wound up. It's like, Mo, he's just been discarded like a rabid dog.
It's show
business.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like it's your love of the week, not your hate of the week.
Right. It rains so much, my watch is fucked. I can't get the watch face. So it was mental. So please, there's biblical standing out there. Loads of people saying, just fuck it off, Barney. But if I fuck it off once, I'll never come back. So I have to, like, if you call it, like, it's raining now and I won't do it. But we are 50% on what we'd usually do today. So if you're listening, please. Yeah.
You're punk rocking now.
It's nice, isn't it? I got this in a cell 15 years ago. I can remember, Chloe hates this, I can remember everywhere where I bought clothing, items of clothing. Like, where, when. But anyway, So 50% sales were down. So thanks, wow. Riaz Jim's bought it back. Please, if you're listening, we need your support. We've got two games, everything. And I hate doing this, but it is what we are. Keep the fight going, but please. It was so bad, that rain. It was fucking ridiculous. And then the sun came out. Man United win. I don't care. I'm happy. Has everyone done their hates?
I have no hates.
He's done enough for all of them.
Not really.
Avanti not having train drivers this morning. Are they all taking it off because of Mother's Day? Wow. Suddenly they've cancelled four trains back because they haven't got staff. Well, there's power to the people, but get them fucking working, please.
Oh, yeah, I'll speak to my union
rep
about you.
Yeah, fucking hell. It's like, come on. Hates, Jim, anyone?
I'm just with Shane on the grown-ass man taking penalties at half-time with a selfie stick.
Oh, someone said it was annoying.
And it's like, you know...
What about some fucking sunglasses?
That's what I meant.
Why aren't they letting children do it? You know what I mean? Should be school kids taking them penalties.
I bet it's an earner for Jimbo.
Of course it is. And he's paid like a few grand and then he's running around with a selfie stick.
Mascots used to be mascots and now you have to pay to be a mascot.
Really?
Yeah, in some clubs and United, not every game. Yeah. They charge to be a mascot. In West Ham charge like 500 quid. They charge fans 500 quid or something ridiculous.
No, they just look like corporate buffoons. Yeah. I don't think they were the word buffoon. I don't think they were.
Yeah.
They were
probably.
Right.
My kids were letting
their
name on a school
book
when it was their birthday when they were young.
And have you done a hate?
I've not got anything really.
What's your word? Like, it's a good word, buffoon. It's not like cum.
Thanks for clarifying.
Because it's publishable.
Libelous. What's a good term of abuse that it doesn't really seem abusive?
Doofus.
No edits today.
Yeah, I can't say.
We disown you. You've let the table down. You've let the crisps down. Right, okay, we're done. We're happy.
I think we're done.
Manchester United are winning matches again.
I think the Pep could have made more effort with.
Yeah, that's what Patrick said.
It is three little flags. Right, yeah. It's lovely when it is lovely when
it was a moment the lad next to me said all the sun's come out because we were drenched.
Well, you were drenched, Shane.
We don't need more like gladiator. You should be but no, the sun come out and we scored and you think, I was sitting thinking it's amazing what a little turn of the dial of United can do to the mood. You know, life can be a bit miserable for people at times, and all of a sudden the sun come out, United scored, and everything seemed great.
We were drenched, by walked from the Parramatta
to Yeah, it must be hard walking from the pub to the tram. What I love about is Paul and Jim were so enjoying today. They went, did it rain? Because they just timed it perfectly. So you spent time in the pub, then got the cab to the ground and didn't even fucking get a soak in.
We stepped out of O'Shea's. The taxi was practically waiting for us. And then we walked in the ground. One minute gone.
I bet it's more for me on this, isn't it? Jesus Christ. This is what you could have won.
I have to give a shout out to Warren from the... over from Ireland every game in the pub before he come up to... this is a bit of self praise now. No one likes people self praise.
I don't want to hear this.
He got to me, he said Shane, I just have to say, go, Shane, you always look very dapper at the football.
He was pissed.
I said, you're joking. He said, no. He goes, you dress quite dapper. I was quite chuffed with that. I'm going to live with that. So thank you. Thanks to Warren.
I'm just eyeing Shane up now. Yeah. How would you describe
dapper?
Would you?
Classic.
Right, Paul, you've got the last words today.
I'm not got anything. I'm happy. I'm all right. It's fine. Everything's good.
Bye bye.
United 3. Yes, you heard that right. United 3. Aston Villa 1. After we saying it'd be a tricky game, it was actually a really good game from United. First half was a bit dribby drabby. The second half came into life with Casemiro again with his head. We're going to miss him. We're going to miss him next season. I swear he still could do a job. Could someone persuade him to stay on? Sure, he doesn't want to leave yet. but fair play to him. He's fucking coming up with the goods with another header. I love Casemiro. I really do. By the way, Cunha's goal was quality. The pass from Bruno Fernandes, whew, out of this world. And big Benjamin Sesko again. Barry deflection. But 3-1, I'm happy. Say then. Happy birthday for tomorrow and a United win. You happy?
Yeah.
Happy, yeah. Zayden's 12th birthday tomorrow. So we're really buzzing and happy. Have you got a man of the match, Zayden?
Casemiro,
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly with that. Well, Casemiro was top again. And Victor Lindelof getting applause from the Stretford end as he goes down the tunnel. But yeah, I'm just buzzing. Honestly, buzzing with that. I thought it'd be a lot more tougher than what that was. One more year, I say. One more year, Casemiro. But yeah, I'm just buzzing with that win, I really am. I thought we played very, very good football at times. Especially second half. I said the first half was a bit dribby-drabby, you know. Second half was much, much more open. I think because Villa came out and pressed us second half as well, it suited us. We got him behind. Again, that's how Cunha scored, getting him behind with a great ball from Bruno Fernandes. I'm just absolutely buzzing. Big 3 points there. 3 points ahead of Chelsea now. Was it six? Six ahead. Six ahead of Chelsea now, sorry. 3 points ahead of Villa. It is six ahead of Chelsea now, isn't it? There's three ahead of Villa now. Hopefully Liverpool lose later. And then we'll go three ahead of them. But big result today. Big result for United. So Casemiro was quality today. I thought Kobbie Mainoo was quite good as well today, really. You know, especially second half, pressing more forward. You know, I think it complements Casemiro very well. That trio, Casemiro, Bruno and Mainoo, I think that's the way forward for the rest of the season. We'll be going into next season, of course, with Casemiro's going, unless he decides to do a U-turn, but I can't see it. But absolutely buzzing with that. Is there anything else to add? You say glory, glory, Man United?
Glory, glory, Man United.
To the regiment?
To the regiment.
And as I said, hopefully Barney's had a good day selling Red News. So few games. This one's only been on sale for two games. And then the next mag's out for the Leeds game, I believe. I'll have to double-check Barney on that one. But, yeah. Absolutely tip-top. A great atmosphere today as well, you know, for a Sunday 2 o'clock. As much as Barney bemoans a 2 o'clock kick-off, it was actually a really good atmosphere today, I thought. But, yeah, listen, big 3 points. Massive 3 points for the Reds. I don't know if I've got anything else to say, really, apart from one more year, Casemiro. Do you want to sing one more year, Casemiro? One more year, Casemiro. One more year, I say. But yeah, and glory, glory, Man United. Glory, glory, Man United. To the regiment. Support Red News. Support the podcast. Support the fanzine. And roll on Bournemouth away, which means they are going to Bournemouth away on Friday with that glorious time of 8 o'clock. Fucking 4 8 o'clock games in a fucking row. Fuck me. To the regiment and up the fucking Reds.